KVOE, live and local, presents City Commission Candidate Spotlights. Brought to you by the RV Dock, 618 Industrial. Repairs for your RV for over 26 years. Mel's Tire, 915 Graham Emporia, where service isn't expensive, it's priceless. And by Emporia State Federal Credit Union, the area's leading mortgage lender, NMLS number 424-226.
Welcome to our Candidate Spotlight series on KVOE. This is a departure from what we have done in years past, really decades past, where we've had several candidates in our given really interview settings when it comes to the upcoming election cycle. This way here with Spotlights, it's one-on-one with our upcoming candidates, in this case for the City Commission race. And we're hoping to give you a little bit better sense and a little bit deeper sense of some of the main topics of the day here in the next half hour or so. Our first guest here today on KVOE's Candidate Spotlight is Kurt Steinkuhler. Kurt, good morning. How are you?
Good morning. How are you?
Doing well here so far. How are things going here as we get the campaign really started here with a little, right around a month left to go here before the general election?
They're going real well. We're getting out, visiting with people, putting some signs out, going to all the commission meetings and trying to be as informed as we can of what the current issues are with the city so we have a heads up if we are fortunate enough to be elected.
Tell us a little bit about why you're running.
Well, I've always been interested in city politics and followed it closely and retired this last year. So I felt it was time for me to give back to my community and kind of try and bring some fresh ideas and positive solutions to city government in Emporia.
Talk about your work background. Talk about your family.
Well, I've been a lifetime resident of Emporia, and I'm married to Sheila, and we have two daughters, Stacy Bryant and Sarah Newkirk, and I have three granddaughters, Quinn, Nora, and Neely. And I previously owned George Groh & Sons in Emporia and sold that company in November of 2017 to Ray Roofing and continued on with them as the branch manager of the company until this last year.
Outstanding. Well, with that in mind, let's go ahead and dive in to our spotlight questions and really our spotlight topics. And we're going to be asking candidates, if not identical questions here over the next several sets of interviews, very similar questions. And really our three main topics here are going to be economic development. There's several different subcategories of that, plus housing and the possibility of a 0.5% sales tax that has been discussed at city commission meetings. And that would be a new 0.5% sales tax versus extending any existing sales taxes. Let's start with everybody's least favorite topic, property taxes. Let's start there, because this is, I don't know of a time when people haven't complained about property taxes,
right,
to be flatly honest. Here, obviously, there's been studies that show Emporia as near the top end, at or near the top end of property tax burdens for similar sized cities across the state. And I'll start with your, really just kind of your perspective on why property taxes are so high here locally.
Well, part of that is with the price of our homes in Emporia, some of those have increased in value. A lot of it has to do with infrastructure needs. We've added some funds into the city right now to take care of infrastructure needs, which they need to do. But a lot of it has to do with the fact that we're going to need to start working in the next couple of years together with the county and the school board to collaborate together and work together to figure out ways to combine maybe things that we do so we can cut costs. We just need to have an extreme open mind on how we're getting around to how we govern as a community and work together.
That sounds like you approved of the City Commission's request earlier this year to have a joint task force, City, Lyon County, Emporia Public Schools, Emporia Recreation Commission. Would that be a fair assessment?
I would approve of that. I think what I approve of is more that we need to start having that dialogue. We need to make sure that when we're doing that as a city, that we're approaching it as, you know, here's some of our ideas and here's things that would help you. We need to have that give and take. If we don't do that, you know, if you go to the county and say, hey, this is what we need, and we're not giving you anything in return. We're going to have to figure out how we work together to have a common goal as a group of three to reduce property taxes.
Right now, Lyon County School District Rec Commission have not moved forward with this idea. Right now, it seems like right now the city is going, at least for now, by itself on this, depending on how things go later. But are you a bit concerned that there aren't those partners or maybe others that need to be at the table with this specific tax discussion?
Not at this time, I'm not. I think what it needs to be is you start having that discussion. You start throwing out the ideas. You try and have those meetings with those commissioners and with the rec center and with the school board members to make sure they understand that it's a two-way street in the conversation. And once we start having those conversations with them to where everybody feels comfortable with the process, I think we can get everybody to sit down and start working towards solutions. Those solutions are not going to come overnight. You know, it's going to take time. It's just something we need to methodically start working our way through and make sure everybody's comfortable with.
Kurt Steinkuhler again joining us here for Candidate Spotlight on KVUE with a general election coming up here in November. Obviously, Emporians, you know, being the vast majority of Lyon County's population, have just in, I think in general terms, the largest property tax burden, or at least as far as responsibility, maybe would be the better discussion point on that, just based off of population. Absent conversations with the county rec commission, school board, or other potential partners, how does the city wind up reducing its property tax burden, or is it in a spot right now where it can, in your estimation?
At the current time, it would be very difficult for it to. You have to look at the fact that as a city, we need to make sure that we have good police, fire, and health in the community. And I say health, I mean, I know we aren't really involved with the hospital, but we still need to have that concern. And the second thing we need to do is work on our infrastructure needs that we have in the community. So after that, that's where you then you start going through the budget, going through where we have income, where we have outflow, and figure out ways that we can reduce city government to a point where we might be able to reduce taxes. Some of those things are going to come in the way of, you know, we have a department in the city that does this specific thing, and that's we have another department in the county that does the exact same thing. Are there ways that we can merge? We've done that in the past. We need to continue to look at those things where we can partner together so that we can, as a whole, reduce property tax.
I want to shift over to the Regional Development Association because it's been in the headlines a lot over the last now almost 15 months now. And right now there's a lot, I think, hinging on the process for finding a president. From your perspective, is that, I don't want to use the term where it should be, but is it at a reasonable spot in the process given how long this has been going since there's been a permanent president and recent restructuring that we've seen here with the board and its membership structure?
That's a good question. It has slowed the process down by some of the infighting that's gone on between all the different people that are involved with that, whether you're involved with the city, county, Main Street. All those partners have kind of had their own view on how they look at how this ought to be, and they got into a little bit of a war. And so I think we've kind of resolved some of those issues. We need to continue to work on those things to make sure everybody feels comfortable. I think they're in a good spot from where they are right now as far as being able to move forward, but that definitely slowed down the process of getting a new president in for now. My understanding is they're still working on looking at candidates. They've had some interviews. They're continuing to look and make sure they get the right candidate for the job, and I think that's very important.
Was the restructuring needed in your mind, especially given, as you mentioned here, some of the conversations which have taken place, I think probably behind the scenes, and some of those that have gotten out into the public meetings? Do you feel that the restructuring was needed at this particular point in time for the RDA's membership?
In my career, I've been involved in a lot of different association works, and I've been involved also with the foundation up at the college. And so I will tell you that my opinion would be that all organizations, no matter who you are, need to go through that period of time every 2-3 years where you really look at the structure of how you're operating. So do I have a problem with reviewing the structure of the RDA? No. I think that needs to be done continually every 2-3 years to make sure the evaluations show that you're getting the results that you want. That way you can tweak things as you go along. And if you're not happy as a group, as the RDA group, they have the ability then to either make changes in the way we're doing that work or make changes in the personnel that we have in place. So I do not have a problem with doing those reviews.
On that topic here, just in general terms of the organizations that were involved and you know, some of the conversations and the relationships, there does seem to have been some friction in how things set up. From your perspective, outside looking in, at least for now, with the election coming up, do you believe that maybe that the working relationships have ultimately, I don't want to use the term healed, but they've maybe smoothed out a little bit over the last several months since the restructuring did go into place?
I think they have. I think everybody feels a lot better where they're at. And I think that just visiting with individual commissioners, as I've had the time to here in the last 2-3 months, they also have been able to look at how they approach this, and they realize that they may have been a little bit too harsh in how they approached it and could have done a better job. So everybody learns from the process. I don't think we should walk away from this pointing fingers at anybody. We've learned some lessons on how to handle these things, and as we move forward as a community, we know how to do it better.
With a permanent president still pending, and with a lot of conversations over the last year as to really how the RDA should target businesses, I wanted to ask you about what business sectors you believe the RDA should be focused on here when it comes to continuing Emporia's economic development and fostering economic growth here.
It would be nice if we could broaden that out a little bit. I think in the past, the RDA has been looking at how they could approach this going after what I call the big fish. You know, we always need to be looking at that 500 to 1,000 or more employee factory or business that would come to town. There's nothing wrong with working with companies that come in or existing companies that want to expand that only have, you know, anywhere from 10 to 15 to 20 employees, because some of those businesses could grow to 200, 250 employees if they're successful. I could name a couple of different businesses up in Topeka that I know of right now. One is a metal company up there that started with merely 10 employees and now employs over 400 employees. So that would be a beautiful employer to have in Emporia. So it's just how you expand that. What we need is we need to get that new president in place so that he can put the matrix in on showing how he can approach those things. Will he need more staff to do that? Is that something that the city and the county are going to work together to help fund better? There's a lot of different moving parts that have to come together to make that work if we're going to go down that direction. I've had a lot of people approach me and say they think that Main Street should take on some of that. I'm leery to suggest that. I think Casey and Main Street has had a lot of success downtown, but we need to make sure we don't overburden them to where they can't be successful. Right now in the downtown corridor, we have, and I just counted this the other day, we have over 27 empty storefronts in the downtown. They have plenty to do in the downtown themselves. And it's a tough job, and it's something that they have to work on with different individuals every day to try and help them out.
Kurt Steinkuhler, our Candidate Spotlight guest here today. More of the Candidate Spotlight after this on KVUE and KVUE.com.
The RV Doc is ready to winterize your RV or fifth wheel. Don't get caught with frozen water lines when the RV Doc is here to help. He'll drain and blow out the lines, as well as remove water filters and add antifreeze. Now is also a great time to take care of any other repairs that may need done. Call the RV Doc for an appointment today. 342-0702. 342-0702. And get winterized.
Make the educated choice when it comes to your vote. Emporia State Federal Credit Union is the sponsor of this year's Candidate Spotlight. These one-on-one interviews give you a chance to hear the thoughts of each candidate as they relate to the pressing issues affecting our community. Then be sure to head to the polls on Tuesday, November 4th to make your voice count. Emporia State Federal Credit Union, with two convenient locations in Emporia, is here for all your financial needs.
This is Allison of Mel's Tire. We offer a full line of Yokohama tires. Yokohama Geolander AT4, Yokohama Geolander MTG003, and the Yokohama Avid Ascend LX. So whether you're on or off-road, Yokohama tires will get you where you're going safely. And while you're here for tires, we can service your vehicle as well. Our experienced certified staff can handle repairs, including brakes, shocks, tune-ups, alignments, and more. Mel's Tire, 915 Graham, your Yokohama dealer. Where service isn't expensive, it's priceless.
Candidate Spotlight continuing on KVUE and KVUE.com. Emporia City Commission candidates over the next couple of weeks. Kurt Steinkuhler, our guest here on the Candidate Spotlight here this morning. Don't forget the general election is coming up November 4th. Well, first segment, in case you missed it, we'll have this in full on KVUE.com's audio vault here later, talking a little bit about economic development in a couple of different categories. We're going to shift over to one that could be considered as economic development, could be considered its own category, and that's housing. We've had heard one project, big project in Kretzinger, pulled off the table at least for now, but there's still two that are rather significant on the home front that are ongoing, one pending when it comes to Cedarbrook Meadows in Northwest Emporia. What do you see as the need for, say, new homes or apartments now, at least at this stage?
I think when you look and drive through the community and visit with the different people that are looking for housing right now, there's always going to be for a while a need for new different types of housing. Some of the housing that we have in town needs a lot of work. So it's really it's more complicated than what people realize when you visit with developers and real estate people on what they feel and what they need. A true developer will always want to push you towards new housing. And I understand that. But what we need in this community is we also need, because of where we're at and the fact that we don't have a lot of room that we can grow out from the city of Emporia, we need to figure out innovative ways that we can help infill of housing in the city itself and to rehab existing structures that we have here. Talking with a lot of the different contractors that are out there that do the remodeling type projects and different investors that would want to get involved in rehab work, they find it hard to get some of those issues accomplished. They feel like the codes work against them. And the codes really, it's just a matter of figuring out how to work within the codes, I think, a lot of it. But we need to look at how we structure the codes in Emporia and make sure that there's not some ways that we can tweak things a little bit to make it easier for investors to purchase a property and rehab it. And whether that's by changing some requirements and how we do licensing and resale, we're just going to have an open mind to make this move forward.
You bring up a point that I honestly had not heard for several years, and I think that actually dates back to the early Kretzinger comments about making it easier for contractors, investors, and developers here to make things happen. How do you wind up doing that? At least from your perspective here, you know, you look at the different codes that have been in place for a long period of time, and they've been adjusted, I think, over the last decade or so. But how do you see Emporia making it a little bit easier to meet the needs that are here right now?
That's a good question. It's going to be tough because you take a contractor that's got his license here in Emporia. He's taken the time to study and through just basic hands-on knowledge, working within the industry that he's in, to be able to go in and test and become licensed as a contractor in Emporia. You got to make sure that you're not working against those people because they've put a lot of effort in doing that. But there's got to be ways that we look at it on how we help that be accomplished where people can go in, and it's basically, you see it on TV all the time, it's called Flip a House. And we've got a lot of houses that are sitting empty in Emporia right now that need to be, have a little TLC to them and bring them up to code to where people can live in them. And the reason that I stress that is there is, everybody wants to push, you know, we need new development. Well, that new development costs the city of Emporia money. A lot of times not up front, but in 25, 30 years, we've got to now maintain those streets, sewer, and water that we bring into our system. So if we don't find ways, innovative ways, to grow the whole community, grow the tax base, or where we can afford to maintain what we put in as a new development, it gets complicated. And all we do down the road is make an issue where we raise our property taxes again.
Leaving, lumping back into that topic, which we already addressed. On infill and on codes, do you see it's one of those things where easing up the codes would be make it easier then for infill specifically? Because I know there's a lot of areas in town that have significantly older homes, obviously, than stuff even, say, in West Central or Southwestern Emporia, and obviously with the new developments that are at least teed up to go in different pockets of town.
It's something that we'd have to look at and see if there is places that you could do that. I would say off the top of my mind, and I've had a career where I've been involved in construction for almost all my life. I built homes back with my father-in-law back in the early 80s, so I understand what the codes are for and why we have them. I think it could be just as simple of deal where you allow a contractor to work with an investor who wants to purchase a piece of property to flip it, and we let those contractors sign off on, I'm going to kind of be his look over person and help him get the permits. So that, yeah, he may charge a fee. Right now we kind of discourage that. It's done a lot, but we discourage it. And when the code people find out that you don't have a licensed supervisor on site, they put a stop order on it. There is the area that I think we could possibly loosen that up a little bit to make it easier for contractors and investors to work together to come to a common ground to get some of these house flips going in the central area of Emporia.
Now, going out west, we mentioned Cedar Brook, which had a couple of different sticking points between the Metropolitan Area Planning Commission and the city, especially late in the process. And it did cause some questions about the city's relationship between it and the Planning Commission. Really, I think more along the lines of with the different responsibilities and the different directions, I think, of the two boards. Do you see that the relationship, at least from your perspective, is good between the two entities? And do you see any changes that need to happen here in order to make the relationship a little bit more smooth? Or do you see any changes needed?
I think let's hone in on that development. I think the complication that happened there was the fact that the Planning and Zoning Board knew what they were given as a charge to look at for lot sizes. And so when they looked at that, they saw the lot sizes were too small. They wanted those expanded out to meet where the new zoning laws came in. And we just put those new zoning laws in. What it seemed to me when I was listening to the commission converse over these things is they're not all on the same page. They voted on something and put in place a new zoning law that then they now decided that they didn't want to follow, or it was too narrow. And so what needs to be done now is I think they're going to have to go back and look at the lot size issue and get themselves both on the same page to where they can work together. If they do that, I think they'll be fine. There has been over the years some instances where they haven't been on the same page, and it hasn't just been on that development. There's other issues in the community that have come up as well.
Sure. Kurt Steinkuhler again joining us for our candidate spotlight. We're going to jump into our final topic here, the potential for a 0.5% sales tax for special projects and other community needs. Is this something that you would support?
Depends on the project. And okay. I will tell you that in doing a little bit of research this last couple months, I was looking at the different sales taxes in different cities, and in a lot of instances, we're on the low side scale of what communities are charging for sales tax.
Really? A lot of people would say otherwise, I think, well, looking at their bills.
when you look at some of the other communities that we're competing against for growth, we are on the lower side. We have room that we could move up our sales tax if we had the right project. And I think that is something that the community would support. And in my talks about, and I'll just call out a specific project, I have had quite a few people ask me about the rec center.
Sure.
And
a lot of questions about
where
that.
It's going and why we would do that at this time with the economic situation that we're in with losing Tyson. And when you talk to them, and one of the things I've always done is I've asked those people, but if the times were different, would you support that sales tax to fund that project? And I would say the majority of those people have said yes. So I think that's where we need to be. It's not so much what I want. It's what I need to listen to is what the people want. And it looks like on those projects, if the project's the right project, most people in this town would be in favor of using sales tax. Everybody pays that sales tax. People that come into our community every weekend to do all these fun things that we do in Emporia help pay that sales tax. So that's why I think people will support those things.
What other type of projects do you see that could benefit? We'll go ahead and say the rec center for one, but what other projects do you see, at least for now, that could possibly not only benefit from a sales tax, but that will get your support?
There is a rule of thought right now out there that people are starting to talk about that we might be able to put in a quarter or half cent sales tax to help drive property taxes down. And that needs to be talked about. We need to get that out to the community and see if that's something they have taste for. That is one good reason that we could maybe put in a sales tax to help offset property tax.
So you're, if I'm understanding correctly, project-based would be something that you'd consider. And mm-hmm. then if it was a property tax offset.
Right.
That would be something. Would there be any other situations where you'd be at least agreeable to considering a half percent sales tax? Or do you think those two categories should be sufficient here for us locally?
Right now, I think we need to be more narrow focused on what we're doing. We already have sales tax that goes for economic development, so I don't think we need to add to that. I think we need to continue that. I think there's been some people say that we need to take that away. Well, I think that'd be a poor timing for the community right now to even talk about that, because we need to start bringing new industry in, whether it's somebody to take the place of Tyson, which I think is going to take a while for that to happen. I think we're better off if we start going for some smaller industries to kind of offset some of that, and that we need that tax money to help bring those industries in here.
Outstanding. Well, Kurt, in case people would like to learn more about your campaign, more about what you stand for, the different issues that are really driving your campaign, how do they get that information from you?
Well, they can always go to email and email me at kurtsteinkuhler@yahoo.com. They can call me on my phone at 620-757-7016. And if they want to, they can go to my Facebook page, which is Kurt Steinkuhler for City Commission. And I will try and get back to you through that. I'm not a big Facebooker, I will tell you that. So my wife helps me on that. I
understand.
I kind of shy away from my social media is Twitter. I like to catch up on KVOE news on Twitter. So
we do kind of overload that, don't we?
Yes.
Well, Kurt, really thank you for coming in here and being part of our candidate spotlight, our first ever run at this particular format. Appreciate your time. Well done here today, and best of luck here in the campaign to come.
Well, thank you very much.
This has been Candidate Spotlight with City Commission candidate Kurt Steinkuhler. This is KVOE, live and local.
Emporia City Commission Candidate Spotlights on KVOE has been brought to you by Emporia State Federal Credit Union, the area's leading mortgage lender, NMLS number 424226. Mel's Tire, 915 Graham Emporia, where service isn't expensive, it's priceless. and by the RV Dock, 618 Industrial. Repairs for your RV for over 26 years. KVOE, live and local.